Hello, and welcome to the Grand Cinema Hotel, a podcast hosted by two friends who love cinema. Tonight, you'll be staying in room 178, Old Boy, the classic revenge thriller directed by Park Chan-wook. So go ahead, get comfortable, and throw on that Do Not Disturb sign as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of an integral piece of international cinema with Old Boy.
사랑해요, 아저씨.
What's going on, all my evergreen old boys? And thank you for checking back in to the Grand Cinema Hotel. I'm Gus, and as always, if you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe. It helps out the channel a lot. As always, I'm joined with my co-host Alvaro.
What's up, guys?
And yeah, I mean, you here because you know what it is. You've seen the name on the video. Classic movie. This is a really exciting thing for us, honestly. Old Boy, 20th anniversary, Neon 4K remaster. God, I hope this leads to a physical edition of this, right? I really need that. I was thinking that yesterday as we were watching the movie. I was like, I really need this.
It needs to be accessible.
If they announce this, I need to, like, okay, place the pre-order. I have to have this because of the scarcity, you know? But I'm not going to go on about that too long right now. Alvaro, you were just telling me that Old Boy is a newer film to you. So let's kind of talk about our experiences and history with the movie first, because this is neither of our first times. So why don't you go ahead?
So I think it was a couple of years ago. I just heard of the movie, and just a couple of people around us had seen it. And I had never heard of it. So
is this around the time you saw Itchy the Killer as well? I remember a few years ago you were watching quite a bit of international cinema, like in bulk.
Yeah. Like, I was going through the it might have been around that time or even before, but I think that the issue was always the, where you're talking about, the scarcity, the accessibility. I wanted to watch it when I first heard of it. I would say maybe even 3 years ago. But it's really hard to find, and even in other, guys who take gold and treasure, even getting it that way, it's very, like, low quality. So I don't know, for the longest time it was really hard to find, and I finally was able to find it last year, and I watched it. But I guess I always kind of felt like I knew what I was getting myself into, which I feel is a different slate compared to yours. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that always works against or in the, I think most of the time it works in the favor of the movie. There's so many sequences. I know me and you grew up in the Tumblr era where they would use these scenes of the movie.
I was going to ask you if you would come across this on Tumblr. Because, go on.
Yeah, but that's like where I had seen even like before that. Like, what is this from? You know, but that's at an age with me where, like, I don't think I had any curiosity to go and search up, like, what's this movie from or anything. But it just always, what they would always use is the hammer scene, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I knew what I was getting myself into. If it is so aesthetically pleasing that it already has a bias. But I mean, I couldn't really gear myself up in any way, because I didn't get any spoilers for the story, but I couldn't gear myself up in any way how this movie ends and how this movie is so like, it's like the perfect oxymoron of, like, funny and disgusting, and
it has it all.
I it just lives in its unique sphere, and I think we did Decision to Leave too, and I think all of the stuff that you really like about his maturity, like, as a director now, I think you can see how much he's when Quentin Tarantino doesn't need to go back and make Pulp Fiction or anything like that anymore, because he did, like, the best of that movie. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Old Boy for him. Like, he was already such a great director that at that age where he made Old Boy, it's, like, perfectly gritty. It seemed like the technology was right at the same, like, perfect way to record it. You know, everything about that movie feels how it should feel. And then you talked about the 4K remastering. There's only a few scenes that look not that great, Everything else looks good.
Exactly. I mentioned it to you yesterday after we walked out of the theater that there was a few sequences where I just thought, like, did they not do the 4K? Did they not hit the 4K button here? You know? I'm not going to act like I'm some technical expert and know how they do it or whatever, but kind of feels like somebody fell asleep in certain sequences. But, you know, it is what it is, right? They can only do so much with the film. So it's like, I know that if a film is shot a certain way, I don't want to say those sequences are bad, but, you know, if they're extremely zoomed in with heavy grain on a certain type of camera, there's only so much 4K can do to not even fix it, you know, but it might be emphasizing something that is not, I don't want to say ugly, you know, but I think you know what I'm getting
McCabe
at,
right? Mrs. Miller's like that too, where the movie is so old
or
and
the
grainy.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre too, right? That's another one where we watched that. I watched a Blu-ray of it. I don't remember how you watched it, but that was one of those films as well where you're just like, man, you really can't save this movie because of how it was made. You can't really enhance it. You can just make it, you can attempt to make it clearer and add better sound, right? Maybe color grade it correctly, but it's like if it was shot with an extreme zoom close up on an old camera, it's going to look a certain way and you can't really do anything about that.
That's what it
but,
is. And with low light and stuff like that.
Yeah. For me, the 4K aspect of the film, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's an era of movies that I haven't gone back to that often in my life, which is like the very early 2000s and late 90s. I don't know. The big one that sticks out to me is like The Matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that movie also looks kind of dated, right? And I don't think in like a bad way, but there's just something about the cameras that they were using during that time where it's so different to now, right? Because it doesn't look like a classic film and it doesn't look like the digital flatness that we have now. It weirdly lives in its own space. It's like, I think of like Mulholland Drive, you know, how they made it on an HD camera or Miami Vice, right? It's like, I don't think Old Boy was shot in a similar manner, but it just has a look to it that I'm not really used to seeing anymore, you know? And I think it's probably just because I don't go back and watch early 2000s movies that often. But yeah, it was interesting to me, you know?
No, yeah, I get that. It has, there's still a grain there, but I do think there's scenes it's digital, but before HD. So then it lives in its
own. Okay, when I went and saw The Shining in 4K, I felt like I noticed a visible difference because I watched it in IMAX 4K at the AMC that we always go to versus like the standard definition DVD I had for many years or watching it on Netflix. That's its own other thing. You know, when a movie's on streaming, it's so different than even what might be on a DVD, you know, because correct. Like recently I watched Jurassic Park on Hulu and it looks so different in certain sequences that the lawyer character specifically, every time he'd be on screen, it's like his sequences, like they took it from a different print of the movie from a different era. You know what I mean? So it's like some of it is like the original, like it looks like the original printing or like what you would see in the theater. Cause I've seen Jurassic Park in the theater as well. So I know what I saw, you know, and then you see these scenes that it's like, did they take this from the TV 90s version? Because it's color graded like yellow as opposed to the rest of the movie, you know.
That's so that's interesting.
There's always, if you can clock it, you know, you can always notice these differences when you've watched a movie on DVD versus on the big screen or even on streaming. Because I've seen Old Boy 3 times in my life. And in 3 separate ways,
right?
3 separate ways, yeah. So the first time I saw this movie, so this is a 2003 movie. I mean, if you saw the title, you know that. This is the 20th anniversary. I'm going to date myself here. You're going to know exactly how old I am. I saw this movie when I was 10 years old in 2004 when it was on DVD, which is really fucked up to think about now. Like, even after I walked out of it yesterday, I was like, that's crazy that my dad was like, it's fine. Like, just let him watch this, right?
Yeah, no problem.
I watched this with my cousin and my dad, which is like the same story for most of the films I've seen at a way too young of an age, and even the ones we've done episodes on, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Exorcist, this is the same cousin and the same father. The very important to my cinematic like rubric, you know what I mean? Like the movies that made me were these two men.
Right. I get you.
So yeah, seeing Old Boy when I was 10 years old was quite the experience, because much like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Exorcist, I was just like, what is this? You know, like I was not sure what I was seeing or if it was okay that I was seeing it. And especially with Old Boy, since I was so young, it being a Korean film, an international film, it was like unlike anything I had ever seen, because my only reference for Asian cinema at that point was Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee, because my dad really loves Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at a box set of Bruce Lee VHSs that I've had my entire life that's in front of me right now. So I was only used to martial arts movies, right? So to see Old Boy, I was just like, I had no idea that something like this could exist. You know, I don't even know if I saw it before or after something like Pulp Fiction, or I remember like with the Boondock Saints is another movie I saw in the same similar situation in the early 2000s. But Old Boy was just something that stuck with me my whole life, especially the scene with the octopus, right?
Yeah.
Like that the scenes in the prison hotel situation, that's something that always stuck out to me, because I remember feeling extremely empathetic for Odesu the first time I watched the movie, not knowing where it was going. As a, you know, as a kid, I was like, wow, I feel so bad for this guy. Like the level of revenge made sense to me as a child. Exactly. You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know, that seems right.
And yeah, I think like another thing that I remember seeing before I even knew, like the wonton scene, because of what you're saying, how are you?
Oh yeah, the fried dumplings.
The fried dumplings.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, so many of the art, just very art-driven shots. And even...
yeah, I mean, Park Chan-wook, we talked about this with Decision to Leave. There's no scene in this movie that gets by without having some kind of, wow, that's a movie effect that they can only do in movies, you know? Like, some of my favorite ones are the... like the character Mido telling a story, she turns her head and all of a sudden a bus comes just like racing right past her head, and then it cuts into the bus, and you know, and it's, she's looking at a giant ant, you know, things like that where you're just like, wow, this guy really doesn't waste a second, you know.
Which
no frame of film is getting wasted here.
So Spike Lee didn't direct this one?
Oh yeah, we're not talking about 2013 Josh Brolin,
which is the 10-year anniversary.
Which, yeah, that's the 10-year. Maybe we'll do that episode after.
Yeah,
that'll be the second podcast, The Grand Cinema.
Oh damn, I watched the wrong movie, guys.
My second experience with the movie was, and you know, this also doesn't feel real anymore because it's so difficult to watch. I watched this with my wife probably when she was still my girlfriend on a very small early 2010s HD TV, you know.
How did you feel like when you saw it? Because it was like you're only your second time. Were you anxious to see it again? Like to see if you would have liked it as much as you remember?
I remember showing it to her because it was when we first started getting into watching movies together that wasn't just like whatever came out at the theater that day. Yeah. I remember telling her that I was like, this movie's really fucked up. And I remember seeing this as a kid, and this, like, I had not seen it in over 10 years probably, right? So I was like, oh, this movie's really fucked up. And that's kind of our bag, you know. It's like, oh, let's watch really fucked up movies together. And she's like, okay, let's check it out. And I mean, if I asked her now, she'd probably be like, I've seen that movie, you know. But I do remember her enjoying it and thinking too, like, what the fuck, you know? Like, for me, I was the one who showed her all of the, like, oh, check out this movie, you know? Like, I'll never forget one time I showed up to her house with The Shining and The Dark Knight, and we watched both back to back with her and her brother, and he was like 10 years old at the time, so it's like I continued the tradition.
He surrendered, you know, to the screen.
Yeah. So, that was the role I played for them, you know. It's like, oh, you want to watch a fucked up movie? And I don't have any real recollections of watching Old Boy at that time. Honestly, the thing that stuck out to me the most was the school scenes, and like the, honestly, what I didn't know then, but I know now, is the shot that always stuck out to me in my second viewing was the sister falling into the river and how it looks like Vertigo. Or not Vertigo, I'm sorry. Psycho. Like when he's falling down the stairs in Psycho.
Yeah.
She's falling into the dam. That was the one that really stuck out to me in my second viewing. And honestly, I don't even remember how it looked. It couldn't have looked good because it was on like Netflix or Hulu or something like that. If anybody out there is listening and they also saw Old Boy on streaming within the past like 6 years, I need somebody to let me know that I didn't make this up. Because I don't know how else I would have watched this, honestly. I don't have a physical copy of it.
It was when Netflix was still shelling out stuff that people didn't want to watch before they made their own stuff.
Yeah, probably. Because, yeah. I mean, do people remember that when Netflix had the good shit?
And because what I've continuously read about this movie, about the culture, kind of that it did change, like you said, about you feeling like, oh, movies can be made like this by, you know, Koreans. Like, it's a very American, like, you would think as a kid, be like, oh, I thought Americans made movies like this, right? Mm. And I think that's like it was the pre-Parasite, right? Like, for a lot of people, it introduced them, like, from the West into probably Korean.
I don't know if my cousin who showed me this movie, how he even came across it, you know? But I do know that even for my dad as well, I remember it, yeah, like, at least in my close-knit circle of people who watched movies, that Old Boy was one where they started watching Asian cinema in general, not just Korean films, but, you know, like that Old Boy tax, you know what I mean? They're like, well, I don't know, hey. Old Boy came from that part of the world.
They're cooking something over there. You know? Like, that's what I've read about, like, just...
I'm sure it is for a lot of people, you know, and not to be too disrespectful to any movie previously. That's why, like, I'm not really going to speak on the cultural impact of it because I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend I'm some historian on the how Korean cinema is viewed and changed since Old Boy's come out. But I'm sure it's probably positive.
Well, yeah, like, I do think it's just culty on this side of, like, in the U.S.
So the interesting thing about him as a director is that I was going back and looking at his films. I haven't seen a ton of them, but what I did think was interesting was that he had a really early success with the movie called Joint Security Area with the main actor from Parasite. And that's the most, or at the time, it was the most successful Korean film of all time. So he has like touched that mainstream success there, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason I bring that up is because we talked about, I don't think we talked about it on the pod, but, you know, this is all talking about the culty aspect. Directors like Wong Kar-wai, right? Or, I don't know, name any, like, European director, right? Like, I don't know, like, let's just say Agnes Varda or something like that, right? There's this, like, illusion in, like, film people's heads that's like, oh, yeah, if you go to Korea, like, Park Chan-wook is the most famous director there, right? And it's like, in his case, it could be true, but what I'm trying to get at is, like, Wong Kar-wai, for instance, right? It's like, oh, he must be so famous. It's like, no, nobody in China knows who he is, really. Like, yeah, they, like, I'm sure the people who love film in China are like, yeah, he's our guy, you know? But it's like, he's not the Steven Spielberg of China. And it's like, I don't know if Park Chan-wook is that of, like, Korea or whatever, you know? But I do know that he's had an extremely long career and a lot of, like, high points, you know, like Decision to Leave, Old Boy, The Handmaiden. So he's been around for quite a while too. Like, I saw that Old Boy is, like, I think his 8th or 10th film, something like that.
Oh, damn.
So this is a guy who, you know, for us in our lives, it probably seemed like, oh, this is, you know, when you're young, you think everything is new that you discover, right? You're like, oh, this guy must be young, whatever. But Old Boy is made by a seasoned veteran at this point, and I didn't know that beforehand, but now that I have that knowledge, it, like, it makes a lot of sense, because this movie, like, much like a movie that they talked about in The Player, it's like it's got to have this and this. It's like Old Boy has everything, you know? And it's like, it's a thriller, but it has a heart, you know? It's got a romance story, but it's deeply funny. So it really is a movie that just has it all. And I do think that it is, like, cult status here, but I don't honestly know how big it was in Korea. Yeah. I know here that I saw that the box office originally was like $3 million. So it's like, yeah, that back then in the early 2000s, if you like it, not inflate, if you like deflate the money, it's like, I don't know. I'm sure that was probably a lot back then.
Yeah. And I mean, now for this, I'm sure the numbers are going to be good as well.
It'll
probably
have made that in the,
wherever it played.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure it'll make that at least.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. I think so too. But, yeah, I think that's where the movie again just really shows. See, like that makes sense. This is 10th film. And because we had a conversation yesterday on the way back, like in comparison to himself, like, is it offensive to say, be like, his decision to leave a better movie than Old Boy? But he's only more seasoned, right? It's like, what, 8 more films on top?
Probably more than that, honestly. He cooks, you know, he makes a lot of movies. Working director, he's a working, you know, he's director. Not very snobby about the idea of like, oh, I need to be elusive with my work, you know, I'm gonna Frank Ocean you and make you wait years and years,
and they'd be mad projects, at you that right? you want it.
Yeah. Like, I know what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just want me to sing, don't
yeah.
you? You just want me to make the camera do Dutch angles, don't you?
Stop making me edit in extremely cool ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting topic, and I would like to know what other people think about that. It's like with directors who don't have a fall off and they get better and better, is it always crazy to say that their latest movie is one of their better movies? You know, I don't know. We always talk about Quentin Tarantino on this podcast, and it's like, of course, technically, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a better movie than Pulp Fiction. It just has to be by the level of production and the 30 years of time that's passed between them.
Yeah.
But Pulp Fiction will always be Pulp Fiction, and it will always have history on its side and nostalgia. So you're never going to want to say that it's not the best one. You know, like, this is a conversation we had a very long time ago when we did the Quentin Tarantino rankings. It's like, how could you not put Pulp Fiction number one? It's like, cause it's not the best.
But
enough time passes where you're like, yeah, like, that was just so of a moment, right? Like, Pulp Fiction. And then it's like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will never have that same pull. But it's a better made movie, you know?
Yeah.
This has to be.
I think what ends up standing out for a lot of people, or I think it's always just a proof of that the story in itself is like, that's where the budget doesn't matter, right? Some of our favorite movies differentiate in budget so much, and I think it becomes like where things are grounded or they're, you know, mid budgets or high budgets. So something like Pulp Fiction lives in, you know, the small budget realm, and I think the story makes sense to that, and that's why it almost seems like, how would you make that with the bigger budget? So I think that's why, like you said, it ends up being Pulp Fiction is Pulp Fiction, because in all reality, Quentin maybe would go back and change some things, as any working director probably would think they could do it better. But I think everybody's kind of come to an agreement as a culture for certain movies that this is the best way this idea could be made. And I think that's what ends up standing up more than, like, you know, production. Like, I mean, it happens with Spielberg too, right? Like West Side Story is a better made movie than some of the other stuff he didn't made before.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
but it's like, of course, a director can have so many highs so early in their career, that they can't possibly surpass that. You know, like, it doesn't matter what movie like Steven Spielberg makes, it's never going to be E.T. again.
Or, you know,
even though it's like third. E.T. might not even be his 10th best movie, like, in terms of how good it actually is. Yep. You know, not the nostalgia, whatever. It's like, he'll never make Jurassic Park again. Yeah. He'll never make Jaws again.
Indiana Jones.
But the movies now are like, more, probably more, it's hard to say with someone like him, but like, not, I don't want to say more personal, but they're so different now. But it's like, they're so well done that how can you ignore that the 50 years of honing the craft, you know?
I think West Side Story is a great one, because, you know, just inventing different ways to, at the age that he is, to remake a classic that necessarily anybody else does it, you'd be like, are you serious?
Yeah, it's like, directing doesn't have to be a young person's game, you know? It's like, you would think that the older directors given that they haven't like fucked off their careers or whatever, you know, that of course they're going to get better with time and with the right material. It's like, I'm sure some people probably fall off because they have bills to pay and they have 6 kids and 5 divorces and, you know, and they've lived the Hollywood lifestyle and it caught up to them. And then you get stuck being like Robert De Niro, where you have to make a bunch of shitty movies because you have a fucking divorced wife and whatever, and you blew your fucking money, and you have to make the Google movie with Anne Hathaway. You have to make the movies with Adam Devine and Sebastian Maniscalco because the bills are due, right? But it's like, it doesn't really tarnish his legacy.
No.
But then with directors, it definitely does, right? Like if Park Chan-wook was to make, I don't know, Detective Pikachu, right? You'd be like, sheesh, the college must be expensive, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for an actor, you kind of expect the fact that they're not tied to anything, but a director could be so tied to their style and what they've done before. And it's like, how could the guy who made Old Boy make Detective Pikachu, you know? It's like, how could he let this happen? Doesn't he know his persona? You know what I mean?
The people who really get away with that too are cinematographers.
Yeah, of course, because it's like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm sure the person who shot Barbie also shot some, like, dark, gritty movie with no lighting, you know?
Yeah, it was like, all right,
Netflix joint or whatever.
Yeah, like, let's do it, you know what I mean? So, it is interesting because, yeah, like, the other movie that I haven't seen from him that always stands out to me that I wanted to watch was, like, Lady Vengeance also.
It's actually, Old Boy is part of a trilogy. I don't believe the story, but it's called the Vengeance Trilogy, and it's like, yeah, it's Lady Vengeance, Old Boy, and then there's the other.
Yeah, I think,
the Vengeance ones are tied together, I believe, but Old Boy's in the middle of them.
Because that's what I was reading about it, was that it's also a Vengeance story, so that makes sense.
He was in his Vengeance bag.
I get it, man. It works, man, but I think, there's also so many movies I do think that after I saw this do make me feel like they're so heavily inspired. Like when I saw The Devil, mm-hmm. like that director I feel is so inspired by.
For sure. Like I honestly think of that Old Boy is like the magnum opus of revenge movies, you know? And I do think that any other movie kind of has to just like walk up to Old Boy and measure itself. It's like, am I as good as this? And the answer is probably no, because it just has everything. And I think it's time we get into the movie a bit. Story, I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast that you probably know Old Boy. I don't think that it's as culty as it is, as like as niche as it is.
It's Paris,
like,
Texas.
It's Paris, Texas, you know, or even kind of like The Player, right? Where it's like, as good as this is, how many people are actually clocking this and it's on their radar and it's something they think about? It's probably not a lot, but I mean, I always hope the people who listen to this are also like, you know, film heads like us, where they like to dig into the crates and, hey, what's this, you know? And it always feels weird because it's like there's a level of gatekeeping on film Twitter as well, and it's like, how have you never seen Old Boy? It's like, How could you even say that?
Right? Yeah, yeah. How come you not seen a Korean movie?
We're like, yeah, how can you, a young American or, you know, somebody on the other side of the world who's maybe 20 years old, how have you not seen a movie that's as old as you are, that's extremely hard to come across, and you have to have a Blu-ray player and a physical copy that's probably not from the country that you live in, so you're going to have to see if it's region locked, and or you're going to have to find it on 1-2-3 Movies and watch it in 240p
and literally
and win an iPhone halfway through. It's like, what do you mean, how have you not seen this?
Oh, your parents didn't expose you to stuff like that? What a loser.
I guess your parents have no culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They didn't show you cool stuff? What a loser.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this re-release does a lot for people, and I really do hope that we get a physical copy of this and do the right thing, man. Bring this shit back to streaming somehow. Like,
do the right
what
thing.
What the fuck is the point of all the streaming services and physical media if they don't even preserve classics that are 20 years old? Like, really? Movies from our lifetime are already becoming forgotten? Just lost to the sands of time? Burned down in the master burned down in the fire? You know, like when they do that with all the fucking music at Universal and stuff like that. Like, oh, all of Prince's original recordings are gone.
They're in that fire.
Darn. Elvis, Bing Crosby, you know, your grandpa's favorite artist, whoever.
Bing like, Crosby.
All that music gone, doesn't exist anymore. It's only on Apple now. So crazy that we live in this fucking timeline where stuff like this happens.
They're like, this stuff takes up a lot of space.
Look, I'm gonna be a hater on actual physical paintings and art and shit like that, but it's like, of course, when that stuff goes missing, it's like, yeah, no fucking surprise that that went missing, you know. But how could a movie where there was like thousands of prints of it at one point possibly not have any historical reference for it, you know? Like, nobody ever thought to keep it. Or how is there no Blu-ray of it now? Bro, put the file on a disc and sell the shit. Like, how much does this really cost these companies, you know?
It's very similar, I think, to Blood In, Blood Out, right?
That's the movie, and it's like, that's becoming such an elusive movie, right? It's like, it's getting to the point where there's going to be a generation of people who don't even know what you're talking about.
And it's also, there's, you know, a cult following, and people always talk the same thing, be like, how come there isn't at least a Blu-ray cut of it, a 4K
Why do
cut?
I have to go to the Santa Fe swap meet to buy a copy of it?
And it's not like this is directed by a very Mexican. It's Taylor Hackford.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get, this is what Martin Scorsese is talking about, film preservation. It's like, how can important movies just go missing and no one gives a shit at all?
Gotta watch it.
It's not even, it shouldn't even be possible. Like, because of a piece of art, it's like, yeah, there's one fucking piece of, it's just one piece of art, you know?
It can burn, like,
and
you
it
said.
Can burn, it can get lost, it can get buried. You know how much ancient art is buried and will never be found, right? But a movie, it's like, how? Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, because it's I guess it's only when they're really small, you would think there's only like two or three or four cuts. But like Old Boy, like you said, you saw in the theater, they were sent out to every theater, you know, a cut of it.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, now, what would be their excuse now, you know?
They threw it away, bro. I wonder what they do with the reels of movies. They probably return them again. Like, once they're done on showings.
Well, there's no world where you can recycle film, right? Like, at all. It's just, it's on there.
Yeah.
Once it's imprinted on there, it's on there, right?
Yeah.
That's just how it works.
And so, it's not like it's
very, I don't flinch. Know. I mean, honestly, they probably burn it, and it's probably awful for the environment, and it puts a hole in the ozone layer.
Yeah, they probably burn most of it besides, like, the master cut.
That's so insane. Because it's like, impossible to store, right? Like, think about how many, like, Oppenheimer, what the hell are they really going to do with those reels, right? Like, they're going to keep them in some, like, Indiana Jones-esque factory or a hangar where there's just, like, all these crates. Right? Like, what do you even do with these things, right? Like, at the Warner Brothers lot, do they have the vault with all of the masters in it?
I think so.
They do, right? But what about all the other ones?
Because I think the issue is, though, that this is always the problem with, you know, I mean, it's hard to pull on the culture, but at the moment of certain things, you know that they're bangers, like Oppenheimer, like they're going to keep the master, like, you know, like Nolan's cut is in the vault. You know, or
he'll
Nolan
have
one.
One of those big, giant, comically large reels of
in his house. Yeah. I need a huge house.
He built his bed on top of it.
Yeah, I need a huge house. It's as big as the bomb.
You remember on Cribs back in the day, Shaq's bed, his Superman bed that he got customly built. Christopher Nolan's like, all right, now check out my custom Oppenheimer sized bed.
And then it's crossed by the Tenet, huh? The Tenet real film. No, but I do think they obviously know that that's going to be, like, this is a film that's going to be heavily, so they keep that. But, like, you know, we're referencing, because we're watching, you know, Clockwork Orange. We've referenced them a couple of times in the episode. But, like, Kubrick stuff, even then at the time, some people appreciated, but then, you know, some people didn't. And so it seems like some stuff that ends up being culturally relevant, or, you know, Martin Scorsese. I've seen movies from other countries because Martin Scorsese has gone out of his way with Criterion to restore them. And I'm like, if Martin Scorsese didn't watch that movie, I wouldn't have watched that movie. Mm-hmm. You know, and it literally becomes like, his influence is so big that it made somebody go restore it, you know. But Blood In, Blood Out might mean a lot to me and you, but it doesn't mean too much to, I guess, people outside of California. You know, like, there's not enough, and I feel like it's so there's not always, so like, you know, when Taylor Hackford made that movie, like people thought it was terrible. Like the general audiences did, you know, but I think so then that even at the time, the studios, when you're thinking about, if this is before digital, where are you storing these things, right? You got to burn some of them. You can't keep building studios to keep these things in. So I do think there was just some cuts there that like, this movie didn't do that well. Fuck it. Let's burn it. You know, let's keep one fucked up cut of this. Let's
write it off.
Write it off, Jerry.
All right. Let's get into the movie a bit. So synopsis, if you've never seen Old Boy, 15 years of imprisonment, 5 days of vengeance. With no clue how he came to be in prison, drugged, and tortured for 15 years, a desperate businessman seeks revenge on his captors. So, like I said, when I first seen this for the first time, I had no clue what this was going to be about. That plot is simple enough, but boy, oh boy, is this movie got so many different layers and shit going on in it, right? So our main character is Oh Dae-soo. And wonderful performance by the actor, Choi Min-sik. This is one of the great performances, probably, the past 30 years, 40 years? I'm not going to leap too far and just like, oh, it's one of the best performances ever just because I've seen it recently. But so good. Just the depths of human emotions on display here. And I also feel that way with our antagonists. Played by the actor Yoo Ji-tae. You know, apologies if I'm getting these names horribly wrong, but these two men and their performances in this movie are just on another level that you don't really get too often, you know, and not because they're doing things that are impossible by other actors, but the way they just embody these characters and make you feel like the empathy for both of them and also just like disgusted by both of them, and they make you feel like they put you through it. You feel every emotion when you watch these two men, and I always think it's cliche to be like, no one else could have done this or whatever, because like, I don't know, that's like a weird alternate universe thing, right? And it's like, oh, I don't know, yeah, I'm sure some other 27-year-old actor could have played that fucking role and done it good too. It's like, who fucking knows? But this guy is the one who did it, so this is why it's so good, you know, because that's that personal touch of like, it's so good because it's that person, you know, they added something to it that who knows if another actor would have played it that way. But I believe for every second that these two men want revenge on each other in ways that just like boggle the human mind and just go against decency and humanity and just pushing each other to levels that I've never seen before. And, you know, you rarely see after. I will say in the revenge genre, you always do have to ratchet it up. So as violent as Old Boy is and as crazy as it is, I do think after 20 plus years, I don't know. It's like, yeah, I'm sure I Saw the Devil has things that are more gruesome in it. But
20 because he's in both of them.
But it's not Old Boy, you know. It doesn't have the same nostalgia yet. And it's like any movie that comes after Old Boy will always have to live with the fact that it's going to be compared to and slightly inspired by Old Boy. And that will always be like, that's why Michael Jordan's the GOAT, you know, because Kobe wanted to be Michael Jordan because LeBron wants to be Michael Jordan. That's why he's the GOAT, you know what I mean? Right. It's like no one before Michael Jordan. It's like, I'm sure he wanted to be like Dr. J or whatever, but it's like, yeah, but you surpassed him so insanely hard that who cares who played before you? You're the blueprint going forward, you know? So I do feel that way about Old Boy. It's like, even if there's things that are more violent now, or like maybe even, you know, Mandy is one of my favorite revenge movies, but you know, I got chainsawing somebody with a 12-foot chainsaw that's like a half-demon alien entity that's on meth is way different than the personal vendetta between two people who have a long history together. And one of them is always going to be significantly more like tragic, you know? And it's like, it's fun to say like, oh, Mandy's like a tragedy, you know? But it's like, no, Old Boy is like Greek tragedy levels of storytelling. Like this is something you could have seen on the streets of Greece in the 400 ADs, whatever, you know what I mean? Like a story that is primitive and it goes back to the beginning of time. This is some like Cain and Abel type shit. You know what I mean? Like this is just a story. And it's like for all the twists and turns it takes, it's a story that is just ingrained in what it means to be human, honestly.
I think the when you talked about it being so dated in ways, but also I think it works in its favor. The runtime of this movie is really fast, I think.
The pacing is like boom, 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 boom.
And the thing is, because it, like the editing style really works here because of that. But so it like really helps you like next thing, next thing, next thing. It's literally taking you through the next page, it feels like. But there is something that would be considered a gimmick now here. It's like the starting of the movie of something tense, right? And the let me tell you how it got here.
Oh, the cold open, yeah.
Yeah, but that's like at the time that he was doing this, like it wasn't overdone yet. And two, the type of movie that it is makes sense because that's why it hooks you up because you see this guy dangling off the side of the building.
And the music's like, all like teching, like
yeah. So it's like a guy.
I'll tell you my story. It's like
yeah, exactly. So it's in hindsight, like you said, dated in a way, and in the way that it looks, but and the way that even that the story develops as a to hook you in. But because this is we're watching it 20 years later, it just this isn't an overdone trope at the time, and I just think its pacing is just. Like perfect due to the editing I think you're just you in the small amount of runtime like you said you're able to feel why they would have so much hate towards each other like you said when you were a kid and you felt bad for him when he is in the prison and that's within 10 minutes of the movie
yeah
like where he gets thrown in there you know and like or and then you just get the story more developed and you know the antagonist here up until like, you know, maybe the end of the second, you know, the second third of the movie or the third, you kind of figure out why he's the way that he is. And then, so it's always weird to end up really feeling that much sentiment towards the villain at that moment in the film when, you know, like, this is a weird thing to bring up, but like in the Incredibles, when there's a villain, right? Then the first one, like you feel bad for him in the beginning, or you're like, oh, he's a cute kid. But here you're like, you have the idea that this is a terrible person. Like you said, of course he wants to kill him. He locked him up for 15 years. And then you find out like what he had to go through because of one small thing that he obviously blames him for. But there's obviously a lot of variance there. But then you end up feeling bad for him. Be like, oh, fuck. Like, it makes sense. Why? You would try to erase all of this.
Yeah. And it's like, there's no good guys in this story because, well, you know, Odesu will tell you himself that he's not a good mm-hmm. person. But then even Lee Woo-jin, the antagonist, he, you know, you get a lot of screen time with him, which is kind of interesting because, you know, they do the thing that can only happen from an outsider perspective in storytelling, which is like, I know something that the protagonist doesn't know. So it's like, I know who Lee Woo-jin is, and I see how he operates, and I know that he's following Odesu every step of the way and just honestly creating this really elaborate game. So I always liked that you get so much of him because maybe, you know, in an older movie or a different movie that would be something to hold until the very, very end mm-hmm. of like the big reveal of like, and it was me the whole time, you know,
exactly.
And you'd go back and you'd watch it and you'd be like, oh, he was there and look, he's there. And oh, look, he was standing there in that scene. And like, I didn't even notice that he was standing there the whole time. Wow. But I like that this movie really puts you in like a two protagonist like type story where you're following the story from both sides. And you don't really know much about Lee Woo-jin until the end, which is like the you know, the reveals who he is and why he's connected to him and you know, how the past always comes back to get you. But I do like the like how he operates and how you can see it's like, wow, like how deep is this, like, how deeply connected is this guy, right? Like, it gives you so much of him, but also gives you, like, so many questions, you know? And, like, a movie that I could not stop thinking of while we were watching this was how heavily inspired John Wick is by Old Boy, right? For one, the character, the revenge, right? The all black, the living weapon that refuses to die because of rage, right? So it's like whether John Wick and Odesu have completely different motivations for why they are the way they are. It's like they're essentially the same fucking character.
Right.
But the other thing was like Lee Woo Jin reminds me of how the world operates in John Wick, where it's like he goes to a motel, boom, phone call. Hello, Odesu. You know what I mean? Like restaurant. Ha, you fool. I planned it the whole time. I knew you would go there. You know, you're just like, we talked about this recently. I forget what, I think it was The Player. Maybe it was something before that. I love in movies when you see how you see a character that's like operating at the highest level, you know, like I love watching like geniuses. And it's like, in this case, Lee Woo Jin is a genius when it comes to how to extract revenge on somebody.
Yeah, big ol'. Yeah,
so it's like, yeah, I feel a lot of sympathy for him, but it's like only at the end when you get that reveal, you're like, oh wow, I get it, bro. Like, I don't think you're necessarily wrong, but you know, you're not. You got to turn the other cheek, bro. Right? That's not what Jesus would do.
This is a sidebar that I think is interesting. I don't know if I was going to bring it up here, but just because you talk about influence of this movie, there's supposed to be another part to our viewing, right? Where we're supposed to get like post, but that's somebody that will openly tell you how much Old Boy influence Only God Forgives Me, right? Only God Forgives Me is the name of his
only
movie.
Only God Forgives.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody so, at the end. Like, he'll tell you how much in Fanboy, and, you know, I mean, we obviously would take any conversation to learn more about the movie, but we didn't get to hear it. So, but I'm just saying that the fact that he decided to be the person to, you know, or they asked him to be in it is obviously because he's a very open enjoyer of, not just Old Boy. I'm sure he's a fan of the director as a whole, but that's something else that you're talking about. That
are you not saying Nicholas Wending Refn's name for a reason?
Well, yeah, I don't, you know,
you're talking about somebody, but you're not saying who it is. So yeah. Nicholas Wending Refn, is there a reason you're not acknowledging him?
No, I said Only God Forgives, but like, Nicholas Wending Refn has a lot of his movies influenced, but he's open about what influences them, and I think, that just shows what people end up thinking is really cool about his movies are often always inspired by stuff like this, where we talked about cinema that existed 20 years ago that not a lot of people were probably too, and not here at least, because he's European, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make sense more for him, but it is like an interesting sidebar, I think, because, you know, he gets a lot of love, I guess, for his, the way aesthetically his stuff are done. And I think it always goes back to a movie like this, at least.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It's weird. AMC, we had had the tickets for weeks, and then all of a sudden it like added, the title was changed, and it's like with a conversation by director Park and Nicholas Wending Refn. So we stuck around for it. A few other people did. I feel like most people didn't know that it was supposed to happen, because as soon as the credits started rolling, a lot of people walked out. I also thought it was funny that I was like, some people walked out so quickly that I was wondering if it was their first time and they were just so glad it was over. They're like, Jesus Christ, like, get me out of here. But three or four other people stuck around with us, and then nothing fucking happened. So I don't know if they're doing that like LA, New York only, or I don't even know why they advertised it, you know?
Yeah. But
it's weird, because I did want to see, it's like, okay, here we go. I'm not, you know, the biggest Nicholas Wending Refn fan, so it's like, I told you before, I was like, I can't wait to see how Nicholas Wending Refn's going to get in there and make it about him, you know? Like, let me tell you how much Old Boy inspired me. It's like, who cares? Your fucking movie suck. Yeah. So I'm glad that it wasn't there, to be honest, because I don't really like him, so I don't really care what he would have to say anyways. And it's like, oh, wow, old boy inspired you. Get in line, bud. Me too. You know?
Yeah.
<true. laughs> That's really brave of you to say that. Wow. Anyways, sidebar aside, getting back to the movie. What really hit you this second time viewing it? I mean, a second viewing is always going to be a little different, right? And I feel like you saw this movie recently enough to probably... not fresh on the brain because we watched so many movies, but it's not an easy experience to forget.
I think the first time that I watched it, I was more because of how fast paced it was. I was more enthralled by the editing and kind of how the movie was moving along, and more like, damn, with the conclusion. Now knowing what the conclusion is, I was more focused on the tone of the movie. So I did find it really funny. I found the movie funny, and I don't know if I necessarily thought it was funny the first time I saw it. And then I was really thinking
similar.
And I was thinking about like his, you know, analogy, the whole movie about like smiling through the pain, because people will smile with you, but they won't cry with you. And I think that like I miss some of that nihilistic attitude that he has as turning the pain. It's like him being really funny is him showing how much pain he is. And I think I just... not purposely but I didn't really notice how actually funny it is, and it from both the protagonist and the antagonist. Like I think there's a lot of scenes, and there's a lot of like body humor. And I know we were laughing at some of the throws, you know, that like across the glass.
Yeah, like,
you know,
just like hilarious
extreme things, you know?
Like, why is Mr. Han strong enough to pick up Odesu, flip him upside down, and like Captain America throw him.
And this guy, you know, like, was bodying 15 people, too.
Yeah. It's the same guy who's, like, been malnourished for, like, 15 years, hidden inside, and then punching the wall. But somehow, you know, the rage has powered him so much that he could fuck up 15 people at once in a hallway.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing that stood out to me the most, probably. And then I also will say that... the vulnerability that he has towards making the revenge so much more disgusting towards the end on Odesu. I think another thing I didn't really harp on is like what you talked about, like in the player has to have all these things. When you do get the moments of either the protagonist or the antagonist here with their love interest, up until you get the reveal, you do think it's very wholesome. Like, that's the only other wholesome like sections of them that you get in the movie, where everything is okay and they become grounded, you know, as every man does in every revenge movie. But then you kind of find out that it's like that's the dirtiness of the movie, that these relationships that they have feel pure to them, and that's kind of the impurity in itself.
Yeah, it's like this movie is like, is nothing sacred, right? Oh, man, what a reveal it is. I mean, there's no way to really dance around it. So, I mean, full spoilers if you have seen Old Boy. If you haven't seen this movie, you don't want to be spoiled. I don't know why you're 50 minutes into this podcast, but that's its own different thing. But, you know, the incest reveal.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, I don't even think I understood what it was. I was just like, what? Like, that's his daughter. What do you mean? Right?
Yeah, like, I'm like, damn.
And the second time when I watched it with my wife, I was like, this is insane. Like, because even then, you know, like 10 years ago, my reference for what could be done in a film was still not what it is, you know, it's vastly different to what it is now, you know, because of the old boys of the world. You know, you're like, nothing surprises me in a movie anymore, honestly.
Exactly.
When people are like, can you believe that happened? I'm like, yeah, I could actually.
Look, I've seen Silence of the Lambs. Yes, yeah. He put on someone else's face.
Huh? Yeah, yes.
And he got away.
I do believe. And he got away. You believe he's wearing someone's face? Yeah, I've seen actually, it. I've seen that in like 3 or 4 movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Movies I like. It didn't deter me from believing it.
Yeah.
No, and I forgot my thought.
It's weird though that like something like Old Boy, you know, it hit like that the first time, or like in 2003, one of the reasons it becomes such a cult success is a crazy twist like that, right? But then something like Game of Thrones, it's like that was a prominent storyline, is that there was an incest storyline and they truly loved each other and they
don't fuck everybody up, huh?
Yeah.
Who's not with it.
Brother and sister against the world, right? And it's like, nobody loves each other more than we do. So it's a topic. It's a topic that is, I would say, more like, more passable nowadays to even discuss than, I don't know, in 2003 how pure the mind was, you know? Like, that's why I'm like, the fact that you chose the word wholesome for anything surrounding this movie is pretty cracked to me. But
yeah, I mean, that's how good I think the movie is in its sense. In its way, I think you know he's into revenge, but there's sections of the movie when you don't know anything yet that, yeah, he's a piece of shit, but it's the same way John Wick loves the dog.
Yeah, it's just not.
And then once you get the reveal,
once you know, you can never look back a way where it's like, oh, that was it. Well, yeah, it's done well, the romance aspect of it. This is a filmmaker who's extremely good at his craft and can handle multiple tones at once. But yeah, I mean, I always thought of the incest being so tied to that line in the film that's like, although I'm no better than a beast, don't I have the right to live?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, that's really one of the deep down, if you dig inside and you pull out all the layers, like, that is at the core of the movie. And I think it's that in the quote of the laugh and you laugh alone, or laugh and the world laughs with you, weep and you weep alone. It's like those two quotes are the two sides of the movie, and they are the through point for everything. And I feel like the whole, anything that happens in the movie, you can pin it back to that, those two things.
Correct.
And yeah, it's like, Oh Dae-soo and Lee Woo-jin are no better than Beast, but that doesn't mean that you can't have empathy for them, or that they haven't suffered, and that they put each other, that, you know, they put each other through this. And like, that's what makes it so complicated. And, you know, I saw Roger Ebert back in the day loved this movie, and he was like, it's not really about the violence. You know, I'm not obviously quoting him here, but it wasn't about the violence. It's not about the flash. It's about stripping the human heart bare down to its core and exposing itself. And it's like, that's why this movie is so good. Forget all the pulp action, thriller, revenge bullshit. It's that like Greek tragedy
that's down there. It has heart.
Yeah.
Like the play.
It's like, it's just, that movie has something so human about it, you know, where it's like both sides can be understood, although they're extremely fucked up and complicated.
Yeah, the double incest, like the girl said, dang, double incest, right? Then a double homicide, like double incest. That's the reveal here. I think it is interesting that this kind of makes me go into one of my favorite aspects, is just the comedic aspect of this movie. And just in reference outside of the movie, is that how the antagonist here is one of the biggest haters of all time, right? And I do think it's really funny that he's like, once his mission is done, he's like, all right, I can off myself now.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I now that you bring up him offing himself, is that because of the re-release of this movie, I seen a cool poster on Instagram, and it's the scene where, or it's a shot of Lee Woo-jin with the blood all over his face, and he's holding the little gun to his head, and then it's like Old Boy, and it's got the neon at the bottom, and directed by Park Chan-wook, whatever. And then Instagram fucking flagged my story so fast and took it off, and was you know, threatening to ban me and stuff because I reposted something that was, it's okay that this post exists, but the fact that I reposted it on my story. So I'm pretty sure I'm shadow banned right now because of some, but not just because of this, but because I also, you know, a photo shoot I did recently, there was like a Playboy magazines involved in them. And like somebody who I know messaged me and they're like, I'm pretty sure you're shadow banned because like you're, anyways, but I'm like, now I'm on my second strike with IG.
Yeah, exactly. Because of Old Boy. And I'm willing to take that.
Whatever. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Honestly. But again, that's the kind of, you know, premise this movie lives in. In the safe world we live in today, people in can't comprehend.
SFW world, man. I'm an NSFW.
They couldn't comprehend this movie, man. It's too dark for them. But
Old Boy's too dark for Instagram.
The tension, I think, just my
some write of the, it on the headlines.
Seriously, some of my favorite things though is like you had brought it up as a kid and still is very prominent, I think, is the squid scene. Because very same thing, like when you talk about the essence of human, they're like, him, I want something alive, right? Just how deep-rooted that revenge is. And although the scene is very aesthetically pleasing, there is a lot emotionally being conveyed in that scene, which I think is what makes it very memorable as well.
For me, what embodies Old Boy, and it's my favorite scene, is the opening, and it's when it's the opening, but it's also
when he falls
about 15 minutes in. Yeah, and it's that sequence where Odysseus puts the glasses on. Is released from his prison, and he is on top of the roof with that guy who's going to commit suicide. And that's where that line comes in about the, although I'm no better than a beast, and I have the right to live. And Odysseus, you know, saves this man's life. And you're like, who is this guy? You know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, he must be like somewhat heroic or something, right? He cared to save this guy's life. And he tells him his story. And the Tekken type music is blaring, right? And also the classical music, too. And the swelling of the like a Western, right? And this wide angle shot from a low, from underneath of like this big giant standing there, right? And you're just like, wow, like this is cinema, baby, right? And then just like even the comedic moment of the guy's like, don't you want to hear my story? And Odysseus just gets up and walks away.
Yep.
And then the guy fucking dies, and you're just like, this is what I'm in for. Like, this is what this movie's gonna be. And like, just that little sequence has everything.
I was just dying at that scene, you know what I mean? It's like, do you want to hear my story? And that's what I mean, the first time I saw it, I think I took it even more as his urgency to, you know, get his revenge. But then I was like, no, this is so funny, because it just reminds me sometimes of conversations we have of like, I wish, you know, I would do that to certain people. So then I'm like, it's funny that it's portrayed in a movie so well with an assassin. And then he goes down. That's just so stylish. Puts on the glasses, right?
Yeah. Now that you say that, I mean, we should wrap up soon, but I think another thing we need to harp on of why this movie's so great is just much like Decision to Leave, when we talked about how it's hitting on every aspect. So it's like the technical side, right? The storytelling aspect, but even the production design, because when I was rewatching this yesterday, and since I got to see it on the big screen, you just notice details you never do before. And it's like the wallpapers and all of the different little hotels or apartments and stuff like that. And it just reminded me of like Decision to Leave with the wave wallpaper and stuff. Right. So it's like, I just noticed like things like that, or like some of the art design, like the costumes and things like that. And I was like, man, these guys, like the characters all look fucking cool, right? The settings are all very cool, and it's like they're also so run down and disgusting and gritty, like you said earlier. Like Old Boy takes place in Korea, but it takes place in a version that is like the underground. You know what I mean? And it's like so much of it doesn't reveal itself and still makes no sense to you at the end, you know? And it's like, I don't know if in Korea these like pseudo prison hotel situations are real or not, but in this movie version of Korea, they're extremely real. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow, it's just some building in the downtown LA where they're like, it would be like downtown LA. And like, look, here's this secret prison that nobody knows about.
I think it's funny that they still eat well though, right?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Because Odesu isn't necessarily like thin.
Yeah, I mean, they're feeding him. It's very basic what they're feeding him.
Yeah, but it's also like, it's not like he, they're also humanity. Opposed. Yeah, that's how they're also opposed to the whole, and I guess it's because it would be a private jail. It's more that somebody's keeping him there that's rich as opposed to it. He's actually in jail. It's
like some animal in captivity. Which is like a good way to describe Odesu, honestly. It's like an animal in captivity.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with you. His outfits are obviously very influential to a lot of revenge films that, like we already talked about.
Walking in the flesh right there. The all black, the pinstripes. I was like, bro, wow. I didn't even realize that Chad Stahelski felt this way about Old Boy, you know? But makes sense to me.
And I do think there's like even the scene really paid attention to, I guess, how carefully plotted the revenges are in terms of even when he's knocking out, he's the one that helps him pick him up, right, and puts him in the taxi.
Yeah,
I like that, like, because that's the first introduction you get to being like, oh damn, like he just came in encounter with him, and like that seemed all very coincidental and stuff like that. And I think, like I said, such a tight ran movie that there's so many scenes that stood out to me the second time that I saw it. But I mean, I don't know when I'll see it again, just because it does feel really nice to have a story every time you watch it and just be able to revisit it and forget bits of it. Because even within the time that I've seen it, like I said, second viewings are always even unique in their own different, or for their own different reasons.
Yeah. So I agree with you that a movie like this, where you don't get to see it that often, will always feel fresh. And I do love that for something like this, because it is the type of movie where it's so one of a kind that it can't help but feel original and fresh and unlike anything every time you see it.
Yeah.
And I hope that somebody is seeing this for the first time with this re-release and it's just going to be blown away, and that they learned something new about movies. They're like, I didn't even know you could do something like that.
Don't take your date to this movie, but yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, dude. I was thinking yesterday, I was like, if anybody here is on a date, or this was just like, oh, I wonder what Old Boy is, let me go check it out. I couldn't imagine feeling more like wronged. You know what I mean? Like, that ain't right. That ain't right what's going on in that movie.
And then, I mean, it was interesting. Like, you know, we always have stories with our viewing that we had our seats and there was space, but somebody sat next to me and it was just a woman by herself.
Yeah, I also clocked some girl by herself behind us too, and like there was a lot of people who were just an individual, you know.
Cinema
and
it's heads.
Like, I do believe that there's probably not a coincidence that the people who are watching Old Boy are also at the movies alone.
Yeah, bunch of losers. Yeah, bunch of weirdo exactly. Losers.
Why are you watching that 20-year-old movie, that's, you weirdo?
Oh, that's. You like that came out 20 years ago, you weirdo?
Yeah.
But you want to keep that alive? I'm sure you do.
I think that wraps it up. I don't want to go too much more into it. It'd be boring to just listen to us go over every detail of the movie. I'd like to leave some mystery because, you know, much like Old Boy, go find out for yourself, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that we've done two of his movies. And I hope that we're always still around to whatever his next one is too, just because it is another one of the directors. I think
it's probably coming in the next year.
It's very exciting, you know, always to
hey, it'll be interesting. I don't know if he is a SAG union writer, actor. How does that fare internationally? You yeah. know, so who knows, maybe the future of the Grand Cinema Hotel in 2024 is a bunch of international movies because they don't have the same problems going on. But
yeah, maybe
I also don't know at all. So don't even take my word for it. Who fucking knows? Maybe it's even worse.
Yeah, maybe. I think the distribution is probably what there would be issues. Like, the movies won't probably. But it's an interesting question. I think I don't want to look into that. But yeah, I am just glad that this is the second one of his, and we have multiple movies of his in our gallery.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? This is the last thing I'll say about Old Boy, and we'll close out on this, is that when I was watching the film, and there's a sequence where Odesu is, he breaks out, and he gets to see all of the, after he breaks in, back into the prison, right? And he's viewing, like, the Bat Cave, where they have all the screens with all the different Old Boys, right? And all the different people in captivity. It made me think of our hypothetical hotel with all these rooms with a bunch of different guests. And I'm like, these are our Old Boys.
Yeah, exactly.
These, these characters and protagonists that we're keeping in our hotel locked up. You're in room 105. You're in 127. You're an Old Boy. You're an Old Boy.
Yeah, we keep the hand from Talk to Me. Yeah. The hand of a Satanist is in the hand. We keep, you know, one day we'll have the car, right, from Christine and one exactly. of the cars. But we could put you in here. You know why? Because we tell them what the fuck
yeah.
to do. And, but so, that is a cool analogy.
All of our Old Boys locked up in the Grand Cinema Hotel.
And Wes Anderson. Escape. And Wes Anderson has a whole hall to himself.
Yeah. He must pay for his crimes.
Yeah.
All right, guys. All my evergreen Old Boys, thank you for checking back in. Bye-bye.
Bye.